92.7 FNZ. Willie P. in the building for Nick Wilson. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. Today is a heavy, heavy day involving the Charlotte Hornets. They draft Mark Williams, number 15 overall. They trade up from 45 to get Bryce McGowans. They trade their 13th overall pick for a cast of other picks. And that has us still kind of wondering what's going on. Love an explanation. And there are some people who are saying, you know, be patient. This is all part of the process. This is Mitch's deal. Let it all play out. And I'm with you. But, you know, my hair is also starting to turn gray. So at least for that perspective, we're having that either. And obviously there's a lot also going on in terms of the Bridges stuff and the Hayward stuff. We want to hear from you coming up in 20 minutes time at 704-570-9610 on how you feel about the current state of the buzz in Charlotte. But the buzz this weekend will be north of the border, and that is where Charlotte FC will take on CF Montreal at Stade Saputo in Quebec for a revenge matchup with the team that defeated us 2-0 in our building. We need to go back and get 3 points away from them. Man who's the president of Charlotte FC is on the line with us on the Telecom Hotline. That is Joe LeBoux, and he joins us on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, the home of Charlotte FC. Mr. President, how are things?
Willie P., what's going on, man? Doing well. I'm trying to figure out what happened last night, too. The draft coverage was fantastic. My mind was spinning for hours.
Appreciate you taking it in with us. But from Charlotte FC's perspective, look, two games in under Christian Latanzio, and you have 3 points to go off of with the New York Red Bull game and a draw last weekend against Columbus. I notice a different spirit in the boys, and that's something that Latanzio had said. What are you noticing with this side two games into a new head coach?
Yeah, competitive. The team's really coming together. There is a spirit. There's a purpose. Not that there wasn't one before, but I think the team has really come together. I heard Brandt on Mac earlier this morning, and he was saying the same thing. To go out and to get a really convincing win against Red Bull was the statement we needed. And, you know, we had a reasonable result last week. We got a point on the road. That's tough to do in Columbus. But, you know, we walked away thinking we probably should have gotten three, and that's the right attitude. I mean, we're not just showing up to show up. We're showing up to win games, and we've got high expectations for this group. And it's fun being around this group right now. Is they're getting an identity. Is they're becoming friends on and off the field. Really looking forward to the back stretch of this season.
I know that there was a lot of initial angst with the move that was made to replace Miguel Angel Ramirez with Christian Latanzio, but I look at it from a different standpoint, and I say it requires a lot of trust in this side to be able to handle a change of that nature and thrive underneath it. How much can you speak to where you guys felt involving the squad to make sure that this would not be only be a move that would help the squad survive, but also help them thrive?
Yeah, I mean, you know, change is never easy, particularly doing something after 14 matches. You know, obviously, you guys were probably talking about it ad nauseum. I mean, we felt it was the right move for everyone involved, and particularly the team. You know, the staff, the people inside this building, and they were communicated to right away from Christian and staff that things are going to be okay. Things are going to be all right. You know, we're on a good trajectory right now, and you know this change is going to help us, you know, get over that next hurdle. And you've seen it in the style play. I mean, you know, we're a little bit more aggressive. I think the guys have a little bit more freedom in terms of creativity, and you know, I think that shows trust in the team. It shows trust in their talents, and that's what you want. That confidence is only going to grow when the people that are, you know, calling the shots have full faith in everyone out there. It doesn't matter the 11 out there, whoever they are. We're confident that we can get the job done with them. So, yeah, it's a good feeling. Christian and his team, staff, you know, are really taking this opportunity seriously, and we're working to put a winning product on the pitch.
Charlotte FC President Joe Labou with us here on Sports Radio 927 FNZ in advance of Charlotte FC's contest against Montreal. I did want to ask you about one player in particular, because if MLS did award a mid-season transfer award or best mid-season transfer award, it would have to go to Andre Shinyashiki, because he came in and he talked a big talk now. He was very much being like, hey, I want to play closer to the goal. I wasn't getting my fair shake in Colorado. I wasn't happy with it. You know, this is a move that I'd wanted for a long time. And, man, he has put proof into the pudding. 3 goals in MLS play, 4 in all comps, 2 assists as well in about 6 games. He's somebody who's been an invaluable part of this roster now and an invaluable part of Charlotte FC's attack.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to our front office team, Zoran, Bobby Thomas, the scouting staff, identifying a player, getting him here. And, yeah, sometimes it's just a change of scenery. And a guy like Andre, he's been in Denver. You know, he went to college there, certainly played pro there. Sometimes just a change of scenery. Again, a confidence booster. We just talked about it. And, he's performing at a very high level for us, putting the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, he's straining your vocal cords on a weekly basis, which is great.
He definitely is, and I know you get those highlight calls on our WFNC Twitter every post game comment, and I do feel like too it is a good opportunity for us coming up this weekend. Obviously, the result at home against Montreal was disappointing, but you know, spinning it forward, we are a different side now. We have a different coach now, and you mentioned the aggression. Montreal will be without a very key player as well, and not having Georgi Mihaljevic, who is somebody who has tormented a lot of teams, not just ours. This is a game this weekend that I feel like Charlotte FC has a great opportunity to move forward and possibly even the ledger against the boys from up north.
That's right. I mean, anytime you face a team in your conference, particularly one that's right above you in the table, one that came here, and yeah, it was not a performance that we were happy about here in Charlotte. We had 33,000 in the stadium that match, and didn't create enough. So those wounds are still recent, and we're going to go up there. And again, that confidence we've got, we'll go up there and try to right the ship and come away with points, which is always the case, home or away, but particularly away. And you know that, you know, we've got to perform at a very high level away, just like we do at home.
The next 3 opportunities to see Charlotte FC in person at Bank of America Stadium all have something special attached to them. I'm going to go one by one because our next home contest is 6 days from now, the rare midweek contest. They only have 4 on the season that are midweek games in MLS play, 2 at home, 2 on the road, and Charlotte FC hosting a very salty Austin FC squad on Thursday night, but it is Pride Night at Bank of America Stadium, and I know you're expecting a lot of people coming in for the pre-match giveaway as well.
Yeah, pre-match giveaway, captain's armband. First 10,000 in attendance will receive one of those. It's a really cool giveaway. And you mentioned it. It's a weeknight game. It's our first one. So for folks that maybe have had busy schedules and haven't been able to get out to Bank of America Stadium on a weekend game, here's your opportunity. If you're working uptown, stay uptown. Come out. See us. We've got tickets available. We're expecting, you know, another crowd in the range of, you know, 32,000 or so. There'll be an electric atmosphere under the lights. And you mentioned it's Pride Night. So we've got the giveaway. We've got special guests from Charlotte Pride. There's going to be a lot of differences in terms of game presentation and whatnot people will notice. And it should be a great night. We're excited.
Unfortunately, the MLS schedule maker did not give us the 3rd of July at home. We had to be in Houston at that time, but we will turn around and host Nashville SC for the first time. Something that maybe could develop into a rivalry here coming up is because of the proximity and maybe Nashville's shift back to the Eastern Conference as well. But we get them for our lone matchup with them at home this season on July 9th, and it is Americana night. You guys have decided to open the upper bowl for that contest and offering some more folks an opportunity to come see possibly their first matchup with Charlotte FC at Bank of America Stadium on Saturday, July 9th.
Yeah, Americana night. So July 9th, We'll just roll the 4th of July holiday in another 5 days. It's a Saturday evening game. There's an opportunity for us to, you know, do some things that we've wanted to do. We're going to activate Mint Street. We're going to throw a bit of a block party. Very family friendly. We'll have food vendors out there. We'll have a number of things for people to do to get down to the stadium early. You mentioned it. We're opening the upper level, small part of it. There's four sections open right now. It's something that we've heard an appetite for, and we felt like this was a good opportunity to do that. We've got tickets. They were starting at $15. Going up to about $30 on the lower level. We've got tickets for $20 available right now. To your point, it's an opportunity for people to come out, enjoy Charlotte FC. We feel like with all the activation around Americana Night, there was going to be a big, there's going to be a big push to want to come out, a big appetite to come out and stay around for the laser light show after the game. If you were at the inaugural match, you remember how great that light show was. We're going to try to run that one back post-match.
The light show hit different. I'll say that for the inaugural match. I was very impressed with what those things can do, and that's not necessarily something that you can do during an NFL contest, so it is a great new feature that they have at Bank exactly America right. Stadium. And obviously, I have to get out of here without asking you about what's happening with the Chelsea match and how sales are for that. I know that Charlotte FC very excited to bring in the former European champions to Bank of America Stadium on July the 20th, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night for part of the FC series. How are sales with mm-hmm. that, and how can folks get involved for a rare opportunity to see a side of that nature?
Yeah, sales are going. I mean, it's Chelsea. sales are going very well. People are excited to see Chelsea in person here in Charlotte, and then the added element of Charlotte SC being in the match too. We're really excited about that. It'll be a quick turnaround. We've got Garth Brooks here at the stadium the previous weekend, and we'll turn it into a soccer pitch and look forward to hosting, you know, the former European champions in Charlotte on the 20th. But tickets are still available. If you go to charlottefootballclub.com or ticketmaster.com, you can still grab some tickets.
Charlotte FC's immediate contest, though, coming up tomorrow evening, 7:30 kick time. Our coverage on Sports Radio 927 WFNZ begins with myself and Jessica Charman on the call with that at 7 o'clock tomorrow here on FNZ. Charlotte FC President Joe Labou, always love talking to you. Continued success as well, and go up and get 3 points for us back up in the land of the poutine.
Love it. Appreciate y'all having me on, and appreciate all the work that you do and all the support you and FNZ and all the listeners have given to Charlotte FC. It means the world to us. So appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll go up there and try to get some points.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you. And that is President Joe Labou joining us here on the Telecom Hotline. Always good stuff from him, and you can tell he's a listener because he heard Brian Pronico this morning on our air. Listens to our games as well as religiously as he possibly can, because he's obviously got a big, big job to do himself. So we certainly appreciate all them, and appreciate you guys supporting the club as well. We'll get back into the NBA draft talk with you next. 704-570-9610. I want to hear from you on the Hornets buzz. Are you liking the pick? Are you liking the way last night went? Or are you like Itty Bitty Fitty and myself? We came away with more questions than we had answers for. And that is next on Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Radio 92.7 FNZ, Willie P. in the building. It is already 11:20. Radio Tinder, which we did not do yesterday because we were out at the Charlotte Touchdown Club. By the way, if you missed our conversation with Marshall Faulk, he was a gentleman. It was awesome. Had some interesting things to say about CMC and his return to the Panther gridiron. Also some great things about his former head coach Dick Vermeil being recognized by the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year in Canton. So that's something to look out for on the Nick Wilson Show podcast page. But because of all the stuff that was going on yesterday around that, we did not do Radio Tinder in its usual spot, so we'll do it coming up at 11:40 today. Rod Boone, Hornets beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, will join us at 12:20. We'll ask him about all the things involved with the Charlotte Hornets, including the issue at hand involving Steve Clifford and where that report came from, because Sounds like there's some legs to the fact that Cliffy could be back as some member of the Charlotte Hornets coaching staff, maybe even the head job itself, because there's been some dialogue allegedly between the Hornets and Steve Clifford. But we want to hear from you right now. 704-970-9610. Or excuse me, 570-9610. Sorry, I butchered that. Pardon me. 704-570-9610 is how you get in touch with us.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know. I literally went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning last night, and it was because I was working. So don't get on me today. Do not choose violence with me, itty bitty fitty. I will go straight postal on your behind right now. Not even kidding a little bit. Okay. So, but I got plenty of energy and I'm full of it. So right now it's all good. But I want to hear from you. How satisfied are you as a Hornets fan of what happened last night? Are you happy? Are you somewhat confused? Are you like me and you can't figure out why the hell you traded 13 for a bunch of currency that's not a warm body and a player? Or are you saying, relax, Willie P, it's fine. Mitch is going to work his magic, et cetera, and so on. Or are you concerned about Miles Bridges? Are you concerned about not having a head coach and saying, well, the roster is what makes the players win? Oh, a lot of different things going on right now. But I do at least want to be positive about the Mark Williams draft pick, because I do feel like that is something that, if you are looking at everything in a vacuum, and then the draft itself, minus the trade in a vacuum, they got a pretty darn good player at Mark Williams, and he talked to the Mac Attack this morning on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, said he's excited for the change to stay in state to play pro ball.
You know, not a lot of people get the opportunity, you know, playing the league in the same state that they play college basketball in, so, you know, to have that opportunity for me is really exciting, and I can't wait.
Too bad the New Jersey Nets don't still exist, because they can play for their home state. Oh, so I'm sorry, that the Duke jersey joke, I'm sorry. Is that too much? James and Maiden's going to get on my butt now. I'm kidding. I love Duke. I love UNC. I'm not like the Mac guy who comes out and you know, has an irrational love for everybody, even when they play each other. I like to take shots to everybody, including Carolina. Sorry, Fitty. But it is what it is. I think it's a good pick. I think it's something that the Hornets can use, and I think it's something, you know, I think the biggest question right now with Mark Williams is, can you envision a world where the Hornets have a top three of LaMelo, Miles, and Mark Williams?
No.
Is that something that constitutes a winning formula for the Hornets? Because it sounds to me like that is what Mitch Kupchak's trying to sell right now.
No, I don't think. I mean, look, the ultimate dream with LaMelo is you get to an NBA Finals. You win a championship. I think the more realistic goal is you make an Eastern Conference final, something this franchise has never achieved. Mark Williams can be a part of that. He can't be the main focal point. He's got to be like what Kevon Looney is to the Warriors, what Robert Williams is to the Celtics, one of those guys. He's still a big part of what they do, but he's not a superstar. He's not even a star. He's a guy that's going to do the dirty work. He's going to clean up the offensive glass, catch some lob dunks, and hit the occasional 18-foot jump shot.
Want to hear more from you on the Garage Door Guru text line and on the phones, which are open specifically in this segment for you to chime in on the buzz of the Hornets, 704-570-9610. Wolfpack James goes, I'm confused about what we did last night. Only makes sense if we're able to trade off Gordon's contract with that pick next year. It makes zero sense to me if that happens otherwise. Williams is a good pick. I think he could start by the second half of the year. He also said he feels that we wanted to get rid of Gordon Hayward, but nobody bit. And that, I think, too, is the most glaring thing about anything from anybody, is that, you know, we had heard about all these different things. And I'm wondering what is more true. Is it they didn't want Gordon, or the Hornets just didn't like the return for Gordon?
I think we want to get rid of Gordon Hayward. I don't know if Mitch Kupchak wants to get rid of Gordon Hayward, or if he does, at least he expects something, I think, a lot more than what we expect back in return.
Well, I feel like we've done two seasons of this mess now, and we know what it is. When he's on the floor, he's a good player.
Yep.
When he's on the floor, he helps the Hornets win.
Yep.
But I also feel like he's not elite, to use Matt Rule's word. He's not to the point, like, what's the one thing that I've always said about Gordon Hayward? It's the quietest 19 points a game you'll have on your roster. Because You look up at the end of a game and all of a sudden he's got 18, 19, 20 points. You don't know how the hell it happened. It's not as if he's doing, you know, otherworldly things on the floor, like, you know, hitting threes or dunking the basketball or making big cuts. He's making the mid-range jump shot. He's very much a throwback type player in that way. And I'm not saying that there isn't a spot for that on your team. It's just it doesn't usually cost you $30 million to have it.
His value, and
it usually plays more games too.
His value, I thought last year, like it increased in December. Remember, this team had no point guard because of COVID. Who ran the offense and who stabled the team? It was Gordon Hayward.
Correct.
And then when so you would think, okay, that increases his trade value. It's easier to move on from him. And then he gets hurt again. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of thought, okay, this season's going to go to hell in the handbasket. The complete opposite happens.
They played better without him.
They were 15-11, I think, without him or something of that nature. Well, now that decreases his trade value. So I think you're in a situation where you got to bring him back.
You say it would behoove the Hornets to suck next once Gordon left?
No. I think you got to hope he can come back, be healthy, rebuild that trade value, and no matter where you are come the trade deadline, then you try to move him next February.
This is from the 704 on the Garage Door Guru text line. Still waiting for more of your phone calls, 704-570-9610. What's so hard to understand with the Hornets draft? If they'd stood with their two picks, they wouldn't have trade collateral for moving a player now with next year's first rounder if they have that. Great forward-thinking move by Kupchak, and of course he's not going to say that. Yeah, I get that. And believe me, there was part of me that, you know, wanted to sit there and say, hey, you know, maybe you at least intonate the fact, hey, you maybe were going out and getting something or there's more to come. But, you know, he made it sound like there wasn't really much on the horizon. And they said they were going to kind of let the dust settle. So maybe they're working behind in the shadows. I don't know. But I don't necessarily think that they brought a lot of optimism to the table. Texter says, do you think the drafting of Mark Williams means the team will not go after a veteran center? I don't think that it should preclude them from doing so because you don't have anything beyond Mason Plumlee on this roster that can be a rotational center for you, at least at this point. If Kai Jones in reality is profiling as a four like everybody says he is, then that's not an option. And if Nick Richards is not an option for you in your rotation and Mason Plumlee's contract's over at the end of the year, then absolutely not. It should not preclude you from going after a veteran center. Am I wrong? Because I do feel like that is still something the Hornets could use as a starter at that position.
Yeah, no, they still need to address that need. But I do feel like if you're bringing in a veteran, you're moving on, at least from Plumlee. Right? Like you don't need a quartet or, you know, five big men on your roster while you're still seeing what Kai Jones and JT Thor eventually grow into.
Texter says, is Bismack Biyombo still out there? Yes, he is.
Oh, don't be surprised if they rehire Steve Clifford if Biyombo is on the team come training camp.
Lord. Texter wants my opinion on Bryce McGowan's. Look, McGowan's is a project, but he has some size. He's a combo guard. I feel like, you know, he could profile as somebody as long as he gets his shot underneath him and learns how to play defense. He can probably be a mid to end of the rotation type player for the Hornets. I'm not 100% expecting it to be like a Devontae Graham type rise, but, you know, at that part and point of the draft, you know, you're going after potential and they actually liked his potential. They used one of the extra second round picks they got from the Knicks to make that deal to go up and get him. They said they had him really highly rated on their board. And when he was sitting there at 40, they said, you know what, let's go ahead and make the deal. And they go ahead and they get him. And, you know, he'll probably play a lot more at Greensboro this year than he will at Charlotte. They said he's going to be on a two-way deal. And, you know, we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing about him. He's got size and length, which this team needs. He can create his own shot, which this team needs coming off the bench. He needs to add some weight and some muscle, which Greensboro will allow him to do that. And look, it's a second-round pick. If it booms, great. If it busts, we're not going to be sitting here mad as hell that Bryce McGowan isn't an NBA player, but I thought they addressed that need for a bench player, and they got that guy in Bryce McGowan.
They at least will have the opportunity to see what he looks like in Vegas. And according to what Mitch Kupchak said last night, both those players, Williams and McGowan, will join the three rookies from last year, JT Thor, James Bouknight, and Kai Jones, all in Vegas. Whiskey D says the Hornets took a step back again with the timetable. Pick at 13. You have a develop and train for the future. 7-year rebuild, I guess, is what he says.
Like the Panthers.
As we're going to say, that's a shot at across the bow at Min Street. This from 336. The Kai Jones move was premature, handicapped more moves. Last year was to add a vet. This year was to add a rookie. I don't know if it was premature, but I do think, and again, you know, the more and more I look at it, I still have to see his ability to be a shot maker change over this year. Because we saw it in college, but we didn't see the most confidence with him on the shot at the NBA level. And again, I know it was limited time, and what we saw in Greensboro was very much, you know, you have to grade it a little bit on a curve. But I do feel like if he can get his shot together, he turns into a valuable rotation player. The problem is, can he guard the five position off the bench? If not, then you put him at the four and put him alongside Mark Williams. That gives you a lot more size than you had before, but I also don't know how great of a mobility aspect it is when having both those guys on the floor at the same time.
Yeah, I feel like in a perfect world scenario, he's a five both ways. He's a five on offense and a five on defense, assuming he can hold his own on both ends of the court. If he can, whether that's this year or next year, this team is going to take is going to go to another level on offense and defense. If not, you're going to be hindered on both ends if he has to be on the court at the four spot, because it's going to limit your offensive spacing, and then you have to see how he can hold his own on the perimeter, knowing Mark Williams already in himself not a great perimeter defender.
Now, addressing this part of the Hornet conversation, last night Mitch Kupchak was asked about the open market and how much the Hornets are going to pursue that. He said he believes that they are going to focus more on the four free agents that they have before assessing the open market. So he said, don't expect a splash. Texter out there is wondering about Mo Bamba. That's a name we've heard a lot, at least a lot of fans clamor for. That's not necessarily something that I'm hearing the Hornets are researching, because, again, he's making it sound like Mason Plumlee is still a big part of this roster. And if you put Bamba and Plumlee on the same team, I feel like that creates a redundancy if you're trying to get minutes for Williams as well, from a man in Kupchak who said he wanted to see more from the rookies last year. And he also mentioned the fact that, you know, they're really not sure what they can say about Miles Bridges. I would have liked them to be at least more openly interested, at least with words. We'll see whether or not the actions meet up with the words, but right now, I do feel like there is some at least doubt about whether or not Miles Bridges is a Hornet next year as a restricted free agent because of the perceived interest that's coming from both Detroit as well as Phoenix, among others. It is the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio 927 FNZ, and I'll sit here and say I was 100%, you know, freaking out and Willie P panicking too much if it comes out and he either gets a max or is somehow retained otherwise by the Hornets. I'll be happy as heck to have it happen, because I think at the end of the day, that makes the Hornets better. But I don't like the way he's been treated, of course, the last year plus by the comments made by the Hornet organization being a little bit too hard-nosed and hard on the touch to that situation at large. Coming up at 12, the Nooners will give you all the rest of the encapsulation of not just what happened on draft night with the Hornets, but elsewhere. We'll also tell you what's going on with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mitch Kupchak coming up the KB show on the Clubhouse, and Rod Boone, Hornets beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, coming up less than an hour. But Radio Tinder comes your way next. Willie P. and for Nick Wilson, Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, Willie P. in the building. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Friday. It's a Friday. Doesn't feel like a Friday. Does it feel like a Friday to you?
Oh, it's Friday AF. Yesterday was a really long day.
Yeah. I feel like I need a second Friday. Can I get two Fridays this weekend?
I mean, the good news is we got a three-day weekend next weekend.
Some of us do.
So as long as we can fight through the exhaustion of last night, and your night was longer than mine, I was done at about 10:30, 11.
I was done about I hit the pillow at 2 o'clock.
Man,
not complaining. Trust me, not complaining.
Oh, not complaining at all.
By the way, I don't know if you knew this. Today is my 3-year anniversary of the first show I did on FNZ.
Really?
Yes.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Glad you're still here.
Sitting in this chair, talking with a man in a Yankee cap named Travis T-Bone Hancock.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Preppy was sitting where you were also. Hard to take.
Now I'm sorry for myself.
Hard to take. The preppy part, not the bone part.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Wolfpack James means two Saturdays. No, I mean, well, two Saturdays would be fine, too. Either way, I feel like I need another day of the weekend because I feel like, you know, there'll still be a lot to delve into today. We're going to have Mark Williams and Bryce McGowan's at the podium at 1 o'clock. We'll try to get you as much as we can from those proceedings as possible. I think Mitch is going to speak as well. Mitch will also be on with Kyle Bailey later on this afternoon on the Clubhouse. I believe I will as well. He hasn't told me otherwise for my appearance to talk Charlotte FC with him coming up later on today. So still plenty to get to over the course of today's show. We'll do the Nooners coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll kind of encapsulate all the draft coverage and news. Rod Boone is going to join us also at 12:20. The Gold Brick comes up an hour from now, but a day late, but not nearly a dollar short. It is time for Radio Tinder, a question, a comment, a news item, a player. We will ask you to swipe left if you do not like such item or question or comment. We will swipe right if you like such item, question, or comment. Are you going to start by reading these? I'm guessing yes.
I'm going to feed them to you. We'll start with the Charlotte Hornets.
Don't feed it to me unless I like it.
This is a simple question. Swipe left, swipe right. Last night was a successful night for the Bugs.
Swipe left.
Really? They address both needs.
I don't like not getting a warm body for that deal. I'm sorry. I understand that might yield a body. I'm not saying the off season can't be successful, but last night rang a little hollow to me. I feel rather simple. I feel kind of like a simp right now for the Hornets right now. Just getting one player that's going to be on your team next year. And a player who is a project. I would have liked a veteran after last night, but maybe I'm just being a bit of a beggar. Maybe I'm just being a beggar.
Swipe left, swipe right. Simping is cooler than pimping.
Swipe right. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Swipe left, swipe left. You're right.
Whoa. So you don't simp for your lady, you pimp your lady?
Maybe I did get that wrong. Texter on the text line, M-Dog, Taco Bell bringing back Mexican pizza is the best thing that's happened in 2022. I don't know if it's the best thing, but I am swiping right on the Mexican pizza.
I've never had it.
Oh, it's actually pretty good.
I always, I have this one problem where I go to the same restaurant and eat the same thing every time I go.
So you too. So it's just me. The restaurant always kind of has the taste of that item for me. I'm very, very, it takes me a lot to deviate from those options. But at a place like Taco Bell, it's usually some variation of a quesadilla.
Yep, a number 7 soft taco with a Pepsi and nachos and cheese.
Oh, so you are such a noob in actually ordering one of the meals. Like, I just go a la carte all the way. I get a quesadilla here. I'll get a cheesy gordita crunch. I'll get a Doritos Locos Taco.
But my pockets aren't as deep as yours. Like, I gotta manage
them. It's not about having deep pockets. It's just about knowing what you. Because here's the thing. Every one of those meals at Taco Bell has like a runt of that meal. It's something that you do not want. And I'm not paying for stuff that I don't want. Is that fair? Like it usually has 3 items. One item is usually a goat item. Another item is a passable item. And the third item is just, hey, we threw this in there to throw it in there because you're late and it's drunk and you're, or I'm sorry, it's late and you're drunk. Scratch that, reverse it. And you really don't care at that point.
I don't know if Matt and G-Bro sent this in as a suggestion or not, but I'll make it one. We should adopt the European model of a 4-day work week.
Swipe right.
So here's the biggest issue with that. For us, we would never have a 4-day work week because sports is a 24/7, 365 business. We would never get a Friday off or a Monday off.
I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, like maybe during the summer we could, because I mean, like right now we're just talking to talk.
I honestly think what we should do is reverse it. We should work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then be off Tuesday through Thursday. No? Reverse it. Because of the sports talk. That's really where the majority of the talk should come. The majority of the talk should come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday through Thursday, where all the vanilla and the fluff happens. None of that works for us. That's where we put the people like me, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
We put
our marquee talent on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then the weekend talent on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So I never get a day off.
Why? Because you're not marquee talent?
I'm the marquee talent, and I'm the...
the fluff.
And you know that. Let's keep with the NBA draft theme. Swipe left, swipe right. The NBA draft should be a two-day event instead of an all-nighter.
Swipe left because it's already long enough.
That's what she said.
Not a fit. I will say this. It is more efficient than the NFL draft.
But I don't know, dude. That first round took forever. I actually disagree.
They put 10 picks in a span where the NFL would take them to do four.
I got home at near... it was after 11 o'clock. And the first round had just concluded. So what time did the draft officially end? 1:30?
It was around 1. It was around 1. We spent more time waiting on, you know, whether or not Mitch was going to speak or not than we did actually waiting on the draft. So it was over about 1. But again, it takes about as much time for the NFL to get through the first round of their draft as it does for the NBA to get through 2.
No brainer here, but I'll still throw it out there to you because it's a Friday. Swipe left, swipe right. The NBA should fix their hat problem when...
Swooper-like. Swipe up and right. Super-like. No?
Well, I can't physically swipe up and right. Yes. Well, I mean, I could swipe... I mean, no one can see
yes,
it. But
yes.
I did swipe up and hit the right button.
Because it's harder to figure out player movement in the NBA than anywhere else in the world. Because... the NFL actually does this the right way. It's one of the things they actually do right about the draft, other than, in fact, it is too long. But they actually switch things, other than the Eli Manning decision that happened a bunch of years ago. But normally, when a trade is made, they can announce the trade at that point. But because the NBA has this arbitrary process when it comes to, you know, making the trade call happen, and, you know, you'll maybe get the announcement 4 or 5 picks later, and that's when that can happen. Like, there was a situation last night with Walker Kessler where he's having to answer questions about the Memphis Grizzlies and playing with John Morant, and he literally was traded in the process of that press conference. So it's unfair to the kids.
Yeah.
And it also robs them of their moment, too. But I would like to sit here and tell you I have a solution, but maybe they just adopt the NFL model and say, look, these trades go and are executed right away. But I know sometimes, because of cap reasons, like, for example, the Detroit and New York moves can't be necessarily announced because of cap constraints currently right now with the Pistons.
Yep.
The NBA cap... it's about as complicated. It makes the MLS salary cap look like it's straight and narrow.
Freddie Freeman returns to Atlanta this weekend in an important...
Sorry, Don Garber catching strays. Sorry.
In an important series between the Dodgers and the Braves. Swipe left, swipe right. The Braves should cheer him, not boo him, when he gets introduced tonight for his first at-bat.
Swipe right! If you are a Braves fan and have any angst or animosity in your heart towards Freddie Freeman, you are poor. Poor, poor, poor. That is poor fan behavior. He gave you a World Series. Do not blame him for chasing the money in L.A. I know he got a pretty darn good deal with the Braves, but got a nice chunk of money in L.A., got to be at home. I don't fault him one bit.
The Met fan in me hopes they just royally screw this up so I can just talk trashed all weekend long.
It's weird. I hear people from Atlanta saying, oh, well, it's going to be a mixed reaction. I'm like, mixed? How would it be mixed? Come on.
It shouldn't be. That guy gave his life to that organization for the last, 10 to 12 years. He delivered on a championship.
It's so stupid.
I think in the end it worked out for both teams. He got a nice contract. He gets to live in L.A. You've got a younger, better version of Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson.
That's Yankee fan behavior, and you don't want. I like to think that you're better than that, guys. I like to think you're better than that, Braves fans. Are we gonna do the last one there or no?
I'll get this one in from NASCAR, Brad. Swipe left, swipe right. The TV coverage of the NBA draft was terrible.
I like Jay Billis, so I'll give a half swipe right. Yeah. Perk was interesting in his mispronunciation of names. Malika was great, though, and Jay Billis was great. So it's a two-thirds of the way good. I like having Marks and Woj there on the desk as well.
Dude, Bobby Marks, man.
Marks is great.
He admitted to something last night which made it very evident why he's no longer a GM in the NBA.
That was funny.
And I feel like they just go too late to Woj when these big trades are happening that nobody knows what's going on. Like, they go to him 2 minutes too late. You know what I'm saying? And now Perkins. Yeah, Perkins is a national treasure because he just can't talk.
Dexter goes, Freddie Freeman left for the same amount of money. Boo his behind.
Boo you!
I'm sorry. If you're booing Freddie Freeman, you do not have a soul. Is that fair? Is that too much? Is that overboard? I don't think so. It is the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Willie P. in the building. The Nooners. All the news around the NBA draft, including the stuff going on around the Hornets organization, because believe me, there's a lot. Rod Boone coming your way at 1220 as well. Sports Radio 927 FNZ.